All right, welcome back to Red, White, and Blues. My name is Johnny Cox. I'm your host. We have Mr. Chris Blackwell in the studio.
Hey, y'all.
All right. Thanks again for coming, Chris.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. It's a lot of fun.
I'm enjoying myself. We're kind of going fast up the Mississippi River here, but we're trying to cover a lot of ground today, but probably future episodes, we'll maybe do one about a whole show about each city.
I'm sure there you go.
There's plenty of material.
Yeah, we can do that.
Like I said, I scratched the surface, and my goodness.
Yeah, and you were just naming off some of the things you did in the previous broadcast. Man, I wish I'd have been here from the beginning, to tell you the truth. But certainly want to. I'm enjoying, and I'm glad that you invited me this time. I'm enjoying myself.
Well, you're welcome to come back anytime, and you know you can have your input on what we're going to discuss and the songs we're going to air. And I'll tell you what we're talking about now, going up to the Windy City, Chicago. Sweet home.
Sweet home. That's right.
Now, I saw a guy, it was Memphis, Tennessee, or was it in Mississippi Delta? There was a train station a lot of guys got on. It's 742 miles to Chicago.
That's right. 742 miles from here.
From here. You probably saw that same show
I probably.
And, these guys, the opportunities to go up there. And you think about us nowadays. If we wanted to move somewhere, it'd be a major task. We had to get a U-Haul. We had to, go there ahead of time, find a place to rent and everything like that. These guys put whatever they could carry in their hands and get on a train.
Yep, a roll and a guitar case.
And left town.
Yep.
And went to a place they knew nothing about.
Yep.
And I'm sure when they first got there, it wasn't all that good. Because, when you got there with nothing, you're pretty much going to live in a pretty bad part of town.
If you're carrying a guitar case, somebody's going to put their eye on you and put you to work.
Well, the other guitar players might hurt you because you might take some money off their tape. Chicago was a rough joint.
It was a rough joint, but I believe they had plenty of room. But you got to remember now, once they did find a place, it was put me a pallet on the floor.
That's right. And not only that, I saw the one guy said he worked for 50 cents a day in the Delta. And they got Chicago and made 50 cents an hour.
50 cents an hour, yeah.
So that's a big difference.
Yeah, big difference.
What industry up there? Steel mills?
Yeah, stockyards, all kinds. There was anything. If you couldn't find a job at this spot, you could find a job at the next spot.
Well, I'm sure it was better than picking cotton in Mississippi for 50 cents a day.
That's right. And that sack gets heavy and long.
That's right. Anyway, these guys headed on up to Chicago. And you think about Chicago, you think about blues. First thing that comes to mind is Chess Records.
I'd forgotten all about Chess Records.
Chess Records.
And I think that was somebody's name, wasn't
Leonard
it?
Chess.
Leonard Chess. Okay, there we go.
There was a movie about it called Cadillac Records. If you want, there's a movie, I think.
Check that out.
That's Beyonce. Beyonce plays Etta James in that movie.
Etta James. She was a handful.
Yeah. Yeah, she certainly was. And you watch her, she never sang a song the same way twice.
You ever seen Fame, the movie about Fame?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you've got to see that. That's awesome. They've got, all the people that came and recorded down there.
But Leonard Chess, the first guy I got, I think, was Muddy Waters. And, and then he got Howlin' Wolf. Then he brought in Willie Dixon. He started that boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, that's right.
He wrote a lot of songs.
And all those songs seem to be declarative in nature. I'm a man.
That's right.
Yeah,
I'm a man.
Maine.
We talked about the juke joints earlier. The main street in Chicago where all the blues music was going on was Maxwell Street.
Maxwell Street.
Okay. And during the daytime, it was open air markets everywhere, and these guys were playing on the sidewalk with their harmonicas, And then at night, it was not such a good place. And they said the juke joints up there were the absolute worst.
Good place to get cut.
Well, what's the old saying? They check you for a knife at the door. If you ain't got one,
they give you one.
There you go. That's right. Well, I'll tell you what, Chris, let's listen to some Chicago blues. And we're talking about Mr. Muddy Waters himself. You talk about I'm a man.
Inventor of electricity.
That's right. Muddy Waters invented electricity in 1850.
That's what they claim.
I bet John wish he had a dollar for every time he heard that on this show. But
I think Mr. Tesla might complain.
That's right. But, and to play in those open-air markets outdoors, they play a little bit louder.
Yeah.
I think the main reason, but it changed the whole sound of the blues. But let's listen to I'm Your Hoochie Coochie Man from Mr. Muddy Waters himself.
There you go.
I'm The gypsy woman told my mother before I was born, you got a boy child coming. He gonna be a son of a gun. He gonna make pretty women jump and shout. Then the world wanna know what it's all about. But you know I'm here. Everybody knows I'm here. Waiting on the hoochie coochie man. Everybody knows I'm here. I got a black cat bone. I got a mojo too. I got a John the Conqueror. I got to mess with you. I'm gonna make you good. Lead me by my hand. Then the world will know I'm a hoochie coochie man. But you know I'm here. On the 7 hours, on the 7 days, on the 7 month, the 7 doctors say he was born for good luck. And that you see, I got $700. Don't you mess with me, but you know.
Hoochie Coochie Man, Mr. Muddy Waters himself, the inventor of electricity in Chicago in 1950. We're talking about, you know, chess records, all the guys that played in chess records. And, you know, there's Howlin' Wolf. What up? I saw one guy who sang at Howlin' Wolf, and I forget his name. He was in Charleston one time, and he's just a phenomenal vocalist. Howlin' Wolf, he was a large man, too.
And to be jumping around on stage and... Oh, yeah. All the antics he had, yeah.
And who was it? You know, Albert King, they said he went, you know, he's more famous from recording St. Louis, but they said he went to Chicago and he kind of timed it wrong. And then Freddie King, you know, the other one of the three kings of the blues, he got rejected 5 or 6 times by Chess Records. You know, I guess they didn't. Well, maybe just he, well, kind of a different style. He had that little Texas shuffle going on right there, too. I'd like to. I'd like to just be a fly on the wall, though. Just walk down the streets of Chicago, 1956, Saturday night. Well, shoot, probably Sunday morning, 1:30 a.m.
That'd be awesome.
1:30 a.m. And
of course, I'd have my knife with me.
Oh, yes, I'd have your knife, I'd take your knife with you. And what is it about Chicago? You know, and they had the story I told you about the guy. He purchased a harmonica, tried to. It was $2 for a harmonica. He only had $1.50, so he threw $1.50 on the counter and ran out. Police caught him, took him back to jail, and the judge says, can you play that thing? So he played it. He said, that sounds pretty good. So the judge gave 50 cents to the plaintiff. Case dismissed.
Was that Little Walter?
I don't know if it was Little Walter or not, but Little Walter, he was a pretty bad man. I think he pretty much started a fight on a nightly basis.
Well, that's what I heard. He was a ruffian, you know, and I guess, what do they call it, Napoleon
Complex?
Yeah, Complex or something. But, yeah, he's supposed to be a scrappy guy.
Also, what was I going to say else about Chicago? Little Walter and Hubert Sumlin.
Yes.
He was the guitar player in Howlin' Wolf's band. And was it Muddy Waters stole him one time. And
I was going to say, I thought he played in a couple of bands. But
well, he left, and then Howlin' Wolf actually walked in the club. And between songs, Hoover was playing, he said, get your guitar and get in the car. And he pretty much told Muddy Waters, if you ever take one of my band members again, I'm going to kill you on stage, right where you stand.
That's headhunting for real, right?
But you talk about Leonard Chess. He started off, he bought a liquor store, and he opened it in the black community. Mm-hmm. And then he opened a little nightclub in the black community. Not really a nightclub, just a little bar.
Right, right.
And he noticed they just couldn't get enough money in the jukebox. And he says, man, he goes, I'm going to try to record some records. Back then they called it race records because, you know, they weren't played on white stations at all.
Right.
Not the Muddy Waters stuff.
Right, right. Yeah,
so that's pretty good stuff.
And I think that speaks a lot to how that evolution happened, especially up in Chicago. Well, at Beale Street as well. To have an outlet for the black population to let their hair down and meet and congregate someplace other than church or the field.
No, absolutely. You know? Hey, and the gospel had a lot in the blues too. Yeah. You know, the feel of the gospel. You're right. I just wish I could just been in one of those nightclubs at any time right there. And I was going to say something. I forget what it was. But also you talk about the spirituality and what the blues is sung about. You know, in the South, they sung about working those fields all day.
Toiling, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be horrible. Mississippi heat in the summertime planting cotton.
Yep.
And they didn't have any idea what air conditioning was. You know, they looked at it and have electricity with a fan.
Right.
Okay, and then he sung about that. And then you're in Chicago, you know, you're making more money. Times were hard. There's a lot of people in a small area. And those little tenement houses weren't very nice.
Nope.
And now they're singing about big city blues.
That's right. So, it was country blues. It's hollering in the fields. Now it's hollering in the streets.
I'm hollering because I got six people in one apartment. And the one above, below me, and beside me, got 12 people.
There you go. Can't pay the rent, whatever.
And they talk about those apartment buildings had like, you know, 30 and 40 rooms with two bathrooms.
And a pallet on the floor.
And a pallet on the floor. There you go. But, talk about Chicago. What's the one song that everybody knows that all goes with Chicago? You think of Buddy Guy, you think about the song Sweet Home Chicago.
Sweet Home Chicago.
And then there's John Hammond.
Yep.
Who, weird, he's just singing about Chicago. A white guy from New York City. That's kind of weird.
He's also a harmonica player.
And very accomplished, too.
Yes, he is.
You know, he's from the Vanderbilt family. Direct descendant.
Really?
Direct descendant.
Well, he plays, that's where my father actually ran into him, was up around Asheville, or as we like to call it, the San Francisco of the East Coast.
Mm, there you go. John Hammond really didn't have a lot of commercial success, but he's one of those guys that everybody knew about him. All the musicians
see his name on the back of albums and all that.
Yeah, but every musician knows about him.
Yep.
It's like my friend Ralph said, you don't hear him on the radio. Somebody's got to turn you on to him.
That's right.
You listen to him. And the people that were influenced by him, think about it. Jimi Hendrix, Duane Allman, Eric Clapton, The Band, Dr. John, Mike Bloomfield, Roy Gallagher, and Robbie Roberts.
I tell you what, that's a bunch of heavy hitters right there.
They're almost all in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And they're all inspired by this guy. And you can walk up to probably 99 people on the street, or 100 people, and 99 have no idea who John Hammond is. But he's just that good.
Yeah, he is that good. And he's clean, too. Now, he can sing dirty, but you listen to him, he's always in the pocket.
That's right. And he likes Chicago.
Yep.
He said, you know, he played the blues around, you know, in the villages of New York City. But he said, Chicago, this is where I belong. So we're going to finish up here a little bit with Sweet Home Chicago from Mr. John Hammond.
I'll sit one and two, I'm heavy loaded, baby. I'm booked, I gotta go. Now come, baby. Baby, don't you want to go back to that bright light city, to my sweet home, Chicago. Well, now 2 and 2 is 4, and 4 and 2 is 6. You keep mugging around my fan bar, you get your business all in a fit. I'm crying, baby. Baby, don't you want to go back to that bright light city, to my sweet home, Chicago. Get your business straight. I'm crying, hey, yeah. Baby, don't you want to go back to that bright light city, to my sweet home, Chicago. Well, I said 6 and 2 is 8, 8 and 2 is 10. Big boss, you tricked her one time, she's sure gonna do it again. Oh, baby. Baby, don't you want to go back to that bright light city, to my sweet home, Chicago. Gonna need my help someday. Oh, baby, baby, don't you want to go back to that bright light city, to my sweet home, Chicago.
Sweet Home Chicago, Mr. John Hammond. That song pretty much defines Chicago blues, wouldn't you say?
Yes, it would. I think that'd be a good song to mark where they were at that time. A thought came to mind as you were playing that. I got to wondering if this was the last song that was played by Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Okay, his last concert was in... Wisconsin,
someplace in the mountains,
Alpine Valley, something like that.
That's, man, you got a good memory.
Well, his brother wrote a song called Alpine Valley.
Oh, did he? Okay. And we hadn't talked about the Thunderbirds, but anyway, flew into the side of a mountain in the fog.
So it was a big blues show. It had a Buddy Guy,
Eric Clapton,
and Robert Cray.
Yes.
There. Yep. And like you said, maybe at the end of the night, they all got on stage and played a big finale.
It was a big finale, and they played Sweet Home Chicago.
So, man, that might be the last song Stevie Ray Vaughan ever performed live or performed
maybe.
Ever.
Maybe. I don't know. Might be talking out of the side of my head. I don't know. But that's the last I remember of it.
Well, Chris, I'm going to thank you for coming in today.
Man, it's my pleasure. I look forward to doing it again if you'll have me.
You can come anytime. And also like to say, anybody out there listening, if you have any comments, requests, disagreements, on the facts, you know.
Suggestions.
Yeah, suggestions, you know, everything. I got to go off the internet, and you know, everything on the internet is true, right? Yeah, so, you know I do.
Live by TikTok, right?
That's right. I do my research like everybody else. I live by Yahoo News. but thanks for coming in. And call if you have any disagreements, requests, or maybe you feel you know a good bit about this here. You want to come in the studio and chat with us a little bit. You're welcome. You log on to WVFFradio.com and let us know what you think. And I tell you what, from 9 to 5, the studio is open. The radio's to come on in. We have a big pool table. I've been giving these guys a hard time about it because I call it the flat spot itis table. Because every time we come in, there's stuff piled on the pool table. And whenever somebody comes with something, they're looking for the nearest flat spot.
That's right.
And I did it myself this morning. The first time ever I came in, there was nothing on the pool table. And the first thing I did was I set something on it.
And there's plenty of instruments hanging on the walls. So.
Yeah, we have instruments, yeah. And you're welcome to come by at any time. And you're welcome to participate in the show or comment on the show. But that's it for this edition of Red, White, and Blues. Chris, thanks for coming in again.
It's my pleasure.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time. Red, White, and Blues on WVFF Radio 97.7 Veterans for Freedom.